And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Yeah, jazz hands.
Hey, real quick, let me turn this off. Real quick, do want to say this. Thank you to our sponsors, 5-Hour Energy. And you can do your part. You grab a 5-Hour Energy, one of these cute little bottles just like that. Can you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Little... Yeah, I can.
You can do your part to support our troops. You get a cherry-flavored 5-Hour Energy shot, and a portion of the proceeds is going to benefit the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. So pick one up today. I don't know. Yeah, you kind of hear that. Pick one up today. 5-Hour Energy. Hi. Michael Carter is going to be on the end of this podcast, by the way. If you listened during the week, he's Luke Bryan's band leader. He's also Luke Bryan's guitarist, and he's a songwriter, written a lot of stuff like Roller Coaster and several others, and he's also Luke Bryan's buddy. They've been friends for years, and we did a songwriter spotlight with Michael Carter, so we're going to put that interview at the end of this podcast. So very exciting.
Yeah, this is exciting. Had a good week. Everyone is in good spirits.
I had a rough week, man. I was sick. I remember on Sunday night, I texted you. I texted both you and Patrick. This is Bubba. And I said, hey, I don't know if I'm going to make it tomorrow. My sinuses went crazy with allergies. And normally this hits me in January or February, you know, right about the time where you and I go to St. Jude to go visit the hospital. It usually happens in that area. It didn't hit me this year at that time. It waited until now of all times, and it hit me like everybody else, but it was horrible. I would come to work every single day, get here. As soon as I got home, I would go to sleep for a couple hours, go to the school, pick up my kids, go back home, and go back to sleep. I slept this entire week away. I couldn't shake it. The sinusy thing. And it was that pressure. Like, I get sinus stuff and it's no big deal. This is the first time in probably 5 years that I had that just horrible pressure where it felt like my head was in a vice the entire week.
Did you go buy some of that stuff that you use when you're making meth?
No. What's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
Yes. Yes, I
kind of where you have to tell them where you live and how many you plan to take.
Show them your driver's license.
Are on your friends list on Facebook.
Exactly. They ask you lots of questions.
I need your Facebook login, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh. So you got a cold? Yeah, I've got allergies. Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Yeah, you don't sound like you got a cold.
No, that's the worst thing is, dude, they have questions they ask you when you're buying anything with a pseudoephedrine. And if you don't answer the question right, they just stand there and look at you until you say the right thing that they're looking for. Okay, and what are your symptoms? And you say, well, I'm stopped up. I got this nasal running and all this. And they just look at you. And you go.
Well, the thing is, the people who want to make meth know all the right things to say.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
if I'm going
are
to
Are you
going
to use this to make meth?
Yeah. Oh,
no.
Thank you, by the way, Big D, for, and I'm feeling much better now. Thank you, Big D, for posting the picture on Twitter of me with my pants unzipped. That was great.
Yeah.
Hey.
You do it a lot.
Bubba's. Well, you know, I do that a lot because I get ready early in the morning, and some of my shorts.
What you getting ready for?
I wear shorts every day to work. Some of them have zippers, and some of them don't. So a lot of times, most of the shorts I wear don't. So a lot of times, the ones with the zippers, I just forget. I just show up to work and they're just unzipped.
Yeah, Bubba's over here sitting there talking in the studio after the show, and I noticed that your pants were unzipped, and they had been all the whole morning. I didn't say anything earlier, and so I just took a picture of it and tweeted it to Patrick.
You did a good job of taking a picture when he didn't know, like just
very
you know,
unflattering
pretending to use
picture
your phone.
Too.
Yeah,
that was good. Good stuff.
His pants and lips. See how long we can keep this going. Are y'all going to watch that Mad Max movie? It looks terrible.
I'm totally going to go watch it. You know, here's the thing. It looks terrible to you because you've never seen the original, have you?
I have, no. And the original was great.
I haven't seen
it.
That's what I'm saying.
Big D hasn't, and I know. See, really? And to me, it reminds me a lot of the original. And I think
if Tina Turner ain't in it, I don't want to see a sequel.
I don't need another hero.
Yeah. Thunderdome was the worst movie in that whole franchise.
Oh, Thunderdome was great.
I couldn't stand Thunderdome.
Now, tell me again, what I don't understand what it is, like the whole setting.
It's post-apocalyptic. Oh, wow.
I stopped halfway. I stopped halfway. So it's like Apocalypse was great.
Can we tell Apocalypse story? No. There's one we've never told on the air.
What is it, when the guy rapping?
Yes.
Yeah, we did tell it on the air.
We went and aired it.
Yeah, we had you go down with a cell phone and talk to him.
Years ago. Wow. Yeah.
Well, we were working in this building and it was kind of overlooked and there's a guy
at the dumpster
and it looked like he was rapping.
Where he was, he didn't think anybody could see him.
Because he was.
Yeah, he was behind a fence and stuff. He's just standing there between the dumpster and the fence, clearly.
Just going at it, man.
He was doing rap hand signs. Yeah.
And so we sent Patrick down there with a phone and put him on the air. And his rap was, I can remember was Apocalypse.
That's when it be, Apocalypse.
And that was pretty much it.
I don't remember anything else. I just remember Apocalypse.
Hey, what's the scariest or dumbest or most awkward thing that we've ever asked you to go do for the show?
Me? Oh, dude. There's so much.
There was
knocking
on
people's doors. Anytime it involved knocking on strange people's doors.
Didn't we send you in to go see if you could take a shower at somebody's house?
Yes, I did that. A stranger's house. I literally did that.
Yeah, you took a shower at someone's house.
Mm-hmm.
What was the excuse? What did you tell them to get you in?
I don't remember. It was just so awkward.
We don't do a whole lot of that kind of stuff with you anymore.
No. Not anymore because you can't because people are so sue happy now.
People will sue you. The other thing, I mean, look, before YouTube, before the internet, you could do a lot of that kind of stuff and just do a little. Now everybody's, it's been overdone. Everybody's got stunt happy kind of.
Yeah,
there's that's all 14 YouTube TV is. Shows and 70,000 YouTube channels about that.
I tell you
so
what,
it's
I've
not
been
even
speaking of stunts.
Anymore.
I've been really last night laying in bed with Zach and Gunner. We just watched videos of people getting freaked out on that slingshot ride, and it is great. You know the slingshot ride where they put you in, and then all of a sudden it kind of tilts back, and it shoots you up in the sky, and you kind of rotate, spins around, and you bounce back down. Also,
it's a roller coaster.
No, it's like a standalone.
No, it's a slingshot.
Ride. It's a slingshot,
literally like a big rubber band. You never seen that?
I don't know.
It's like you're sitting in this kind of like a round pod,
uh-huh.
And they pull it. They get a hook, and it pulls the thing down. And it's on these two big bungees, but they're
and it shoots it up, and you spin, and then
it
comes back down
into the air.
And so the best was this guy, you can tell he's obviously very nervous about it. And they're filming it on the ground. And he's like, I don't know, man. Okay, let's just do this. And the guys working it, they're like, hold on a second. And they had a bolt, like a big bolt about this long, had nothing to do with the machinery. And when the guy's not looking, they toss it over on the metal flooring that's underneath him. And he goes, tink, tink. And the guy goes, Roy goes, oh, what was it? And he picks up and goes, what's this? And he goes, wait. And right when he said wait, they shot it off. And the guys go, whoa, no.
That's great. That's great.
Then they had, I guess it's kind of something they do, because then they had another guy, they were all working, and it said, they go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And like nothing happens. The guy's like, what happened? He goes, Hold up. And he goes over there and goes, there's something wrong with the restraint system. He goes, just tilt it back, but don't launch it until we get there. He goes, what's wrong with it? He goes, well, it's not latching and it's not going to hold you in.
And that's when they launch it.
And then that's when, choop!
So the person thinks that they're going to fall out.
Yes, and the guy was screaming. It was so great. I
can't even imagine being on that thing. I would never, ever sit down in that thing.
Oh my gosh, so good. And the other thing where they have a guy who's going to actually do a real bungee jump, and he's facing he's on the bridge facing everyone, and they're like, okay, you're going to do this, yeah, and he goes, all right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and the guy jumps backwards,
and they go, wait, wait, wait,
And the guy, somebody throws an extra bungee out. And they go, no, wait. And it looks like it's broken. So he sees this thing coming at him like it's broken. And then he has to fall for that 3 seconds thinking, I'm splat. I would totally do that.
I would.
That's awful. That's your buddy and he's riding back in the truck with you and he don't have a change of pants. You know?
Yeah. Oh, they had people on that slingshot ride who messed their pants.
Yeah. I would absolutely
scaring people and seeing
destroy
people
whoever did that. I would be like, who had a hand in this?
I just pointed Patrick. Patrick did. Patrick's crazy, man. Remember the time he went and knocked on that stranger's door and asked to use their bathroom and then
I
went
got,
through their
I got
medicine cabinet?
For walking around with the not arrested, but I got stopped for walking around with the handcuffs on.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
we had an orange jumpsuit and handcuffs. God.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing now you look back on and you go, we could never do that. That was 15 years ago. We did that now, we would get sued. People would be calling for us to, Dad should take them off the air. I can't believe.
Sent you to a gym to go and, I mean, this is like so classic radio, to go and tempt the...
tempt people with Oreos. Yeah. That was kind of funny.
Did Oreos and bananas.
I still think
one
of my favorite things is when you're on the treadmill trivia, where we put you on the treadmill, and for every question you don't get right, we increase the percentage.
That's only funny for a few minutes because I really can't run. Like,
Yeah. It's so great.
I went to an all-woman gym to try to sign up one time.
Oh, I remember that. And you were like, trying,
I am a girl.
We pretended
didn't you say
that
I
you
am
were transgender.
A woman?
Yes. Yes.
Were you saying, no, I am a girl?
I am. I'm a
female.
Female.
And
I mean, I had long hair at the time, and I clearly have man boobs.
We locked you in a trunk somebody's car. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Locked you in a trunk.
When we locked you in and took off. And
you locked Duncan in the trunk of a car and then had me open the trunk. I forget what the premise was, but he scared the crap out of me. Oh, my God.
We had the cabbies game. Remember we'd have... He would just catch a random cab, and it was the bet was, is this one going to be a foreigner or that they'd be American or whatever? And
yeah,
classic stuff, man.
Good stuff.
Going through my favorite stunt ever was going through the car wash on top of the car. That was maybe my favorite.
Until we did the wax?
Until the hot wax. But other than that, no, it just was, it sounded great. It was fun.
Yeah,
we
good.
Didn't videotape it because
who had video cameras
back then. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Did we ever do the thing where you had to do the prop wash, like stand behind the plane?
No, we didn't because it was too dangerous. Like
about FOD could actually kill somebody if it hit them. FOD being foreign objects.
Yeah,
and it could actually hit.
Yeah, if a rock came up and hit him, it would hit him at like it'd be like getting shot with a bullet. You couldn't do that.
Gosh, that would have been funny. We're so terrible. That would have been great, though.
Boy, just the power that comes off the back of those planes.
Like a jet. You see them like where they flip an RV and stuff?
I got a friend of mine who was taxiing in his little Cessna 172 behind a FedEx, I think, or UPS. Something. And
you're supposed to turn into it like you're flying behind the jet. That way it doesn't... flip you. Did he get flipped?
Oh yeah. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Well, you fly behind it.
Well, no, you're supposed to turn into the wind direction whenever they
This was not gonna help him.
Oh
no.
Really?
Oh no. He was right behind it and it flipped the entire airplane over.
Wow.
It was that fast and he was on his back. Yeah.
That sucks.
That's so scary, man. So yeah. Anyway, what else going on?
I want to say briefly that when I agreed to take over the blog for Causes and Effect, where I have to give to a charity every day and write about it.
That's Patrick talking, by the way.
First of all, when I agreed to do it, it was at a Christmas party, and I guarantee you there was whiskey involved in that decision making. Okay, because I had 6 or 7 glasses of scotch. It was a Christmas party, and when Brian Mansfield said, would you like to do this, I was like, oh yeah, that sounds great, not thinking I would have to write every day a blog entry and write about it, you know, not thinking that everyone else doing it was professional writers. Anyway, the whole reason I did it was for because I wanted to be able to write about tuberous sclerosis, which is today is TSC, Tuberous Sclerosis Complex Day, Global Awareness Day. So, yeah. So that entry, the one for May the 15th, is the whole reason I agreed to do this for a whole month, just so I could write about that. It's very serious. A lot of people have it, and a lot of people don't know they have.
What is it?
It's called tuberous sclerosis. It's where you tumors form. It's not cancer, but their tumors form either, and it could be different for everybody. It could be on your skin or on your liver, in your heart, in your brain. And the ones that form in children's brains are the ones that get noticed because they cause seizures and they cause autism and they cause all kind of other stuff. But you could have tuberous sclerosis and the tumors would be in your kidney or your liver and you wouldn't even know.
How are you? Can you get tested for it? Is there an enzyme secretes?
Now they can. I mean, this is all starting to be figured out over the last 40 years, but now they've got it pretty good. They can do a genetic test and figure out if you have it. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, if you have tumors in your kidney, it's harmless. But your kids have a 50-50 chance of getting it, and you don't know where the tumors are going to show up.
And why? What's your connection?
I have a cousin who has it. She has tuberous sclerosis. None of us ever knew she had tumors in her kidney, and they're harmless when, you know, for the most part, those are mostly harmless compared to everything else. So she never knew she had it. And then now both her daughters have it. One had tumors in her heart. The other has tumors in her brain. Mm. So it's one of those things where you don't know, if you don't know you have it, your kids will have a 50-50 chance of getting it. So
and if you don't know you what don't, to yeah. look, there are things you
the
look
things
for.
You can look for, yeah. I mean, there's you know, you can go to.
It's treatable.
It's there's treatable, but there's no cure. You know, mm-hmm. Well, and so it's just one of these things. They're trying to build awareness. It's something that lots and lots of people have. They say millions of people in the U.S. alone have it.
Don't know,
but. Yeah, you could have it and not know.
Well, good. At least you're doing, you know, some awareness.
Yeah, so anyway, that's my little public service push is, you know.
Do you like doing that? Does it make you enjoy the writing part?
I don't enjoy knowing I have to do it every day. But I feel I'm pretty proud of most of the ones I've done so far. I think I've written some pretty good stuff.
The one I forget which one I read, but
You read the one about Cy Young.
Yeah, it was done really well. Yeah. It was done really well.
I've enjoyed it. You know, the caption for today is my little cousin Emma just said, Emma is 9 years old and she loves airplanes. And then I wrote about her and then I said, oh, and by the way, she has this thing that you've never heard of because how many people have ever even heard of TSC, you know? So it's been interesting to try to make it interesting to write about something every day. Although really, I still have 16 days left. And
make sure you respect writers.
Oh, yeah. My God. These people who write every day. Like Billy. You know, we know Billy at tasteofcountry.com, and he writes at least one thing for the website every day, sometimes way more than that. I'm like, I'm burnt out. It's only been 2 weeks of writing one thing every day, and I'm
like,
burnt out.
And, like, he has to. Like, he
has to.
That's
his job.
So there's pressure. You know,
exactly.
It's not like he's doing a blog. I don't want to say he's not doing it for fun, but when you're doing it for fun, it's totally different. But when you have that pressure of somebody saying you must deliver this per month, your quota kind of thing, and it's like, wow.
And I majored in journalism. I want to point out, like, the great irony of the fact that I majored in broadcast or journalism with a sub in broadcasting, and I'm like, you know, that was just a mistake. I could have never been a journalist.
No.
No.
Kathy's at a writer's conference in Chicago this weekend. She loves it, and it's, you know, it's her kind of her skill, her talent, but it's not for me, man. She's really good at, like, reading something and going, take that out, move this around here, and this has nothing to do with that, create a whole new thing, bring this down. She's really good at editing, and that's what she's been doing now in this book, but... it's just editing and taking.
I can see how she would be good at that. I'm not bad at doing that for small things for other people. I can't do it to myself. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can't. You have to have somebody, you know. We always say Bubba's really good at writing an email. Like if you're trying to make a point, Bubba is very good at, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? He's good at knowing the right thing to say.
I just try to be nice to them.
That's the biggest thing.
That's the biggest thing.
Well, you don't want to. I mean, it's so easy to be mean to somebody. You can get your point across in a nice way, and then you're not the jerk. It's because there's so many times.
Essentially, that's everything in a nutshell.
There are so many times whenever you try to write something in a reply to somebody who has just ticked you off royally in an email or a text, and you write when you're angry, and that anger comes through. And it's hard to...
And sometimes when even anger comes through when you're not trying to be angry.
Yes.
Because it's hard to read what the intention is. Okay, well, I didn't know if you knew that.
Oh, what a good day.
Yeah, that's a good day, man.
It is.
I feel like we should sing. Who wants to sing a song?
No, we're not going to sing.
Patrick hates whenever anything with song or music comes up.
No, we're not going to sing one because it's a podcast, and you know we're not supposed to sing other people's songs.
I wasn't singing someone else's song.
We're going to make something
else. I'm thinking about singing our own song. Oh, it's an original. Grab your guitar. We're going to sing a song. It's going to be an original song about our week and what went on this week. So you go ahead and get it. Oh, I think you should do it in honor of B.B. King passing away, the great blues legend. Can you do it? Let's do a blues song.
I can do blues, but I can't do it like B.B. King.
No, of course you can't.
You don't have to play like B.B. King.
But just as a nod to the great.
Little plug in over there.
We're going to do a blues song.
What?
Blues is all on.
It'll work, man.
It's fine.
It'll work.
Don't worry about it. Blues is all on the bass note. It's not going to really pick up so well. No, just don't. No, you know what?
It
sounds like you're a perfect person to do the blues. You've already got them. Come on over here.
See how it is.
Come on over here, Ray of Sunshine. And
you being a pain in the ass.
All right, that's fine. You can do that. All right, here we go.
Oh, I hear bass notes.
What is that noise? It sounds deep and bassy.
Yeah, I know. It sounds too... I don't know why, but it never sounds good.
Kylie, we can't do this. What were you thinking?
Yeah.
Is that...
It's fine. It's fine.
No, it's not.
You're way overthinking it, dude.
All right, so the topic is our week. And Bubba, you're going to take the first line.
All right.
And then me, and then Patrick will finish it out.
You know how to write the blues, right? You only need two lines.
I got this. I'm just waiting for you to...
Do those two lines have to match?
They have to rhyme. That's it.
Okay.
You sing the first line twice, and then you sing the second line and make it rhyme.
All right. Here we go.
It's pretty easy. Here we go. Hold on. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Here comes Bubba any second now.
Well, I went to the store. And I got me some pseudoephedrine. They looked at me like I was crazy, cause I went to the store.
Mm-mm.
And I got me some pseudoephedrine. Lady behind the counter asked me a bunch of questions and finally came out. She said, "You gonna make meth, boy?" And I said, "No, I ain't making no meth. I just need to get rid of this sinus crap going on in my head."
Good job, Bubba.
You gonna do it, D?
I'm ready for
you. All right, go.
This week I went and looked at some cars with my boy Gunner. I said I went and looked at some really cool classic cars. Mustangs, Camaros, with my boy Gunner.
Were there supercars too?
There were a couple there, Bubba. He said, "Hey, where's Mr. Bubba at?" And I said, "Oh, he's back in the back making some meth with his son, Frankie." Mm-hmm.
This is where the solo would be. It would be like, bam, 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 bam. He's playing the fake harmonica. Is that a duck call?
Yes.
Tribute to B.B. King, who passed away last Friday at the age of 89.
Seriously, it's the worst tribute ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's our boy, Mr. Patrick.
Well, I realized I was still fat, and I thought I should try to eat less food. I said I realized that I was still fat.
Come on, come on, come on.
and then I should try to eat less food. Yeah, my friend said, no, what you talking about? You done lost all kind of weight. You look great. And I said, oh, boy, you ain't seen me in the news.
Oh, check it out. Come on, everybody. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Thank you to our podcast sponsor for this week.
By the way, that might be the first ever blues song to incorporate a duck
call. That's the duck call. So I'm not going to lie. It wasn't good, but it was not bad.
Okay. The podcast sponsor this week, 5-Hour Energy. And we want to remind you, you can grab one of the cherry-flavored 5-Hour. Yeah. You know, do it as a blues thing. Just go ahead. Come on,
give
man.
Give me the script. Give it over here.
No, just do it. We got this. Okay.
Yeah. Well, 5-Hour Energy.
Yeah, you got a 5-Hour Energy.
They're the sponsor of this show.
Yeah, you can do your part to support our troops. Grab yourself a cherry-flavored 5-Hour Energy shot. And
5-Hour Energy.
A whole portion of the proceeds.
Sponsor of the show.
Gonna benefit the Special Operations Warrior Foundation.
Yeah, they're giving money to the Special Warrior. What was it?
Operations
Warrior Center.
You ain't got that right.
And I ain't gonna sing this song no
all
more.
Right, again, pick up a cherry-flavored 5-Hour Energy shot, and a portion of the proceeds will benefit the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. 5-Hour Energy. Thank you for sponsoring the podcast.
Yeah.
And now, Michael Carter.
Hey, join us for our singer-songwriter. What do we call it?
Songwriter Spotlight.
Songwriter Spotlight.
Wow, you're good at this.
Is Michael Carter. Hey. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm good.
So, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you do, what you're about, and don't leave out your mama.
Mama may be listening right now, so I can't leave her out.
Better not.
No, I'm one of the very fortunate to be able to make a living doing multiple things, and one of them is writing songs, and also get to be on the road with a good buddy playing guitar, Luke Bryan. He's an upstart.
Yeah,
he may make it.
He's coming along. And get to produce another dude named Cole Swindell.
So you're doing, is that kind of the way it's going where guys are doing multiple things? I think so. Because you're like, well, you're on the road. Like when you're working with Luke, you're also the band leader.
Right.
So you're doing arrangements and kind of getting all the band together. And then you go out on tour and you're really busy then. Is there downtime?
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. We get a lot of writing done. You know, I've written a lot with Cole and Luke, and Dustin Lynch is out with us this year. We've been writing a lot. You kind of get a routine just like anybody does in town with any kind of job, you know, and our afternoons are basically the window. Early afternoon is the window. Then everybody starts, you know, branching off, getting too close to showtime. But it's fun. You know, we do our gym run in the morning, try and work off the crown. From the night before.
That's the key word, try.
Sweat it off on the treadmill, you know.
I bet that gym smells great.
Ooh, man.
Yummy.
Yeah. What are these dudes
doing? So,
when
you guys are on the road, how do you find a gym? I mean, you just go and say, hey, look, we're with Luke Bryan. We want
kinda.
To use your gym?
I mean, kind of. Somebody,
do they let you use it for free?
Yeah, a lot of times they do.
Oh, that's cool.
Sometimes they don't want to. But a lot of times we just trade tickets and stuff, and everybody's generally really nice. And the venues, they use the same one. Over and over, and they'll get a little arrangement there. So,
so we talked about being the lead guitarist and band leader for Luke Bryan. Let's talk about songs that you've written.
I think there's, you know, the story behind how any song's written is always unique and fun and stuff. And even when you write them, you're like, a lot of times you're like, man, won't it be funny, you know, or neat to tell everybody how this came about if something happens with the song. You know, you always hope something happens with a song, but you never know. But sometimes you're like, man, if this ever happens, you know, it'd be cool to tell the world about it.
And right.
Cole Swindell, Hope You Get Lonely Tonight. You helped write that?
Yes.
So how did that come about?
Out on the tour, and Cole was out filling in with Thompson Square. They were out on tour with us, and I think Shauna or Kiefer, one of them, had some voice trouble, so he came out and filled in for a couple shows. And FGL, Florida Georgia Line, was out opening as well. And one afternoon, BK said, hey, I got this little idea. We got in a room and took about an hour, and he had a little beat going, and we just put it together. It just kind of landed.
Do you have like a little drum machine thing that's doing the beat?
Yeah, at this point, you can do them on your phone. Just about. We have one of those little, you know, Bluetooth speaker deals. You know, you just pull in there wireless and get it going. And it's kind of like an invisible drummer. you know, to kind of get the groove going.
Could we hear a little bit of it?
Sure.
Without the drum, Bubba could be the drum beat.
Who's, yeah, who's going to be?
Who's the beatboxer?
The beatbox.
You don't want me to do that right now. I'm sniffling. We don't know what kind of noises will come out.
You don't know what kind of tuning we're going to have either.
If you're feeling what I'm feeling, let's mix it up. You got my number, baby, hit me up. If you need a little late night, pick me up. I hope you're getting lonely tonight. You gotta wake up and miss me. We can straight up blame it on the whiskey. You ain't gotta wake up and miss me, no. I hope you're getting lonely tonight.
And I don't remember the words to my own damn song.
I found that more of you songwriters do that. Is it because you have so many kids and you forget the names of them and stuff?
Literally. Because like when he said, hey, I hope you get on. I'm like, oh, God, I don't know if I know that.
Who was it who came in and like had to have
lyrics? We pulled up lyrics
on an iPad or something. I forget who it was. And there was like a
I know we had
classic.
To do that for
who
Reba. We had to do that for Reba for sure.
Reba couldn't remember any of
Ronnie Dunn, same thing. Ronnie Dunn didn't know the words to his songs.
There's a lot of things going through your mind. It's funny that, like, I take for granted, you know, you write them, and I don't ever have to, like, carry the whole deal.
Right.
You know, like, you know, out playing with Luke, I sing backup, but I'm not ever worried about, you know, everybody watching me sing the whole thing, you know. And then when all of a sudden you have to, like, in a round or something like that, it can be overwhelming, especially if you're not used to it.
Are you and Luke from the same town? You have the exact same inflection and accent?
One town over. Uh-huh. One town over. We met at junior college, so it's hard to hide.
It's funny how even your pacing is very much like him.
Just well, outside like of you. Boston. We were from just outside of Boston.
Yes. I hear it.
So clear. We're talking about Roller Coaster off the air, and you're going to play a little bit for us, but... that's actually a song that you remember the words to.
That you wrote and remember?
Yeah.
God, I hope.
You probably, because you do it, I mean, you do it in concert and yeah. You're doing it on tour and all this stuff. What is there a cool story behind it?
The farm tour stuff that Luke does, several years ago, Cole and I were in the back lounge. And he's like, man, I got this idea about a song kind of, you know, about going to the beach and a girl meeting a girl and getting all messed up over her, and then you got to leave. You know, and you know, and her getting you twisted around like an old beach roller coaster. And I just thought immediately, Panama City. I grew up going there.
So those words actually came out and said, "Twisted around like an old beach roller coaster."
Yeah, yeah. I think at one point we were calling it Back Beach Roller Coaster because Panama City actually has Front Beach Road and Back Beach Road.
Gotcha.
And then it somehow got morphed into Old Beach, you know, roller coaster. But. So we were writing at the back lounge in Valdosta, Georgia, in the middle of a field. And again, it's one of those things where, like, when we finished it, we said to one another, who knows if anybody's ever going to like it. But we were just so proud of the song, the type of song it was. You know, it gave us chill bumps, and it still does playing it. I mean, I get chills every night and just feel like that's the pinnacle of a song.
That's got to be cool as a songwriter to see, because you get to see it firsthand. You're there. It's a song you wrote. Luke's singing it, and all of a sudden you get this great reaction. It's got to be awesome.
It's really unbelievable. It's one of the coolest things ever. And sadly, the last spring break we did, I went running by where the amusement park was, and it's gone, completely gone. Mm. And so I took a picture, you know, kind of sent it out to our whole to Cole and all his guys and all of our crew or whatever. It's like, this is the site, you know, of where we wrote the song about Old Beach Roller Coaster. It was Miracle Strip Amusement Park. But so
now you're just the negative texter.
Now we're now I'm Nancy Negative. You know.
Well, can we hear a little bit of Roller Coaster?
Sure.
Is Michael Carter tuning up a little bit?
She had a cross around her neck. And a flower in her hand that I picked from the side of Thomas Drive on our way to the sand. We found an old wooden chair still warm from the sun. Pushed it back, gave me a kiss with a Bacardi on her lips, and I was done. And we spent that week wide open, a upside down beside the ocean. I didn't know where it was going, just trying to keep my heart on the tracks. I should have known that kind of feeling would last longer than that wing did. Blown away and barely breathing. Sunday came and it was over. Now she's got me twisted like an old beach roller coaster.
Nice. Michael Carter, man, thanks for dropping in. We
Dude,
appreciate it.
Thank y'all for having me. And for real,
thanks
it's awesome.
For writing the songs that we play.
All sing.
Yeah, we sing. And
well, thank y'all for recognizing. I was telling Patrick, that's awesome that y'all do this. It's really cool to recognize the writers.
Well, I mean, it's such a big part of country music. I mean, you hear George Strait doing it all the time, thanks to the songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
Garth, all the big names have always said it. And it's just one of those things, you know. There are the singers, and there are the ones who write the songs. Yeah. Sometimes they're the same. Most of the time they're not.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to get the story behind the songs.
Yeah. Well, like I appreciate it.
If we didn't have the songwriters, we'd just have...
You'd have... Thank you, Detroit.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.